just give him a hand and just say, Lord, you're enough. More than enough. Thank you so much for being here this morning. You may be seated. Thank you, worship band, for leading us in those amazing songs. Now, it is, I don't know why, but I'm smelling Denny's for some reason. Okay, I think maybe that means that there's something that they're cooking. Bacon is being made here. I think there's going to be something special for you moms. A little special burrito or breakfast going to be served afterwards. So they've been eating it. So I smell it kind of, the bacon is flowing through their bodies. Okay, and you need to get the leftovers. We do have a second service, though, so we're going to want to make sure that there's plenty. There's going to be plenty. Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. I just heard a man say they're good. I thought they're for the moms. Okay, Matt? No, I'm kidding. I'm sure we can all share that. Oh, yeah. He's smelling his wife, right. His new wife, should I say. You know, I look around the room, and I see miracles. I really do. God provides, because I see people whose lives have been changed drastically by none other than the power of Jesus Christ. And they're all around me. And it's like, what an amazing, amazing thing. I mean, some of you don't know that you're sitting around people who've gone through the same things and who've come out as gold. You know, we go in and the fire, and we come out of the fire refined like gold. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's what the Lord does for us. And it's a great thing. So we're going to be continuing a three-week series. I'm going to conclude it next week. And we started last week. It's called Experiencing Heaven on Earth. And what I've been talking about is the fact that there is a place. And it's a spiritual place, not a physical place. And I'm going to clarify. It was a little vague purposely last week, and I'm going to clarify it this morning. There is a place, a spiritual place for the Christian where peace overflows, just comes out, where joy is a part of our lives, where love fills us, and then it actually fills and flows through us and out of us, where politics have no effect on us. Amen, that right, someone? Where addictions are overcome, where negative circumstances have little to no effect on us, where life becomes amazing, where God feels so close that you can touch him like heaven on earth. Now, again, it's not a literal place, but rather a spiritual place where we can find intimacy with God. And it comes after salvation. So it's in addition to, we come to Christ, he saves us of our sins, but there's more to experiencing Christ in this life than just knowing that you're going to heaven. There is a sense that we can experience heaven on earth. And I've got good news for you. You can go to that spiritual place if you want to. It's available. You can go there. But you'll have to be willing to take a private and lifelong journey to get there. Now, you say private, you may have to go alone. Well, listen, there are other people on similar journeys, but each journey is handcrafted just for you. Just for you. So you kind of have to do the journey alone, although there are people around kind of cheering you on. The journey can be a little scary at times, and that's an understatement. But it requires trust, obedience, and the maintaining of a soft and willing heart. A heart that continues to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Now, last week I laid the foundation for this teaching from the Old Testament, and I started with a teaching about the Sabbath. It's kind of random. We talked about the Sabbath in Genesis chapter 2, and then we looked at Israel's opportunity to enter the promised land in Numbers 13. And you say, Joe, what made you pick those two when you said you were going to land where we're going to be today in Hebrews chapter 3? Okay, but I did it for a reason, because Hebrews chapter 3 refers to the Sabbath that we see in Genesis 2, and to the entering, or should I say, the not entering of the promised land that we read about in Numbers 13. But in Hebrews, it talks about entering a place, a spiritual place of rest, and I'm not talking about sleep. I'm talking about rest, where we rest from our works, from our striving, where we recognize that He is enough, He's more than enough, and He loves us. He loves us, not because of what you're doing or not doing. He loves us, and He is more than enough. It's also a place, we recognize that, and we also experience intimacy with God, which very much feels like heaven on earth. Now, personally, I have been a Christian for 40 years, and I have been in and out of this place of spiritual rest on a regular basis over my 40 years. I'm in it, I'm out of it, I'm in it, I'm out of it, okay? I'm just being honest. But I'm trying to learn to stay in that place. That's what I'm trying to learn. But before you can learn to stay there, you have to learn how to get there. And that's what I want to talk to you about in this series. I want to give you a map. A GPS that can get you to that place, and then together we can learn how to stay there. But before I jump into that today, I want to ask a young man in our church. His name is Matt. He was playing drums today. He plays guitar at other times. Matt's going to come, and he's going to share a little bit about his story, because he's one of those that I've talked about who's had his life drastically changed by God. Matt, Tyler has a microphone for you. And Matt, come on up and take a few minutes and tell us a little bit of the journey that you've been on. He needs his phone. Because in the phone, he's not going to make a phone call up here. Are his notes correct? Give Matt a hand. Matt, come right here.
All righty. Hello, church. My name is Matthew Sandoval. So, my journey started probably when I was like 12, I want to say. You know, I felt like the Lord has always blessed me with music. I've been playing music since I was 12, been in several bands. I played with Joe's son. We toured all over Texas, did all that crazy stuff. But it was actually around 2016 when the Lord was actually calling me. And I chose to ignore him. As y'all can see by my face or whatnot in my body, I've endured a lot, so much. 2016, I had met someone. She was a born again believer, and that was the start of my journey. I was playing music, doing all this stuff, but I was living so worldly. I was so sinful. I was pursuing myself rather than honoring God. And I felt like that's why God put me through what He put me through. So initially what had happened was I was in a head-on collision, people. Yeah. I was with my girlfriend. We had went out to Plano. We're on the Dallas Tollway coming back. We had some drinks, and we're coming back. It was like 2 in the morning on the Dallas Tollway. My life really changed at that moment because there was a guy that was going the wrong way on the highway. And I really couldn't tell that he was even moving, but he was moving fast, very fast. And I was going about 75 miles an hour on the toll. He had his headlights off. And, yeah. Next thing you know, it was too late. And we collided. From that point of that collision, my life changed forever. Like, completely. I've endured 17 surgeries, 5 facial reconstructions, 2 knee reconstructions, shattered both my kneecaps, broke my left foot, internal bleeding. What nearly killed me was I was internally decapitated. When I hit the guy, my head had disconnected from my spine. I tore 4 vertebrae in my cervical nervous system, and they told me the only thing that was holding my head and spine together was my skin. And I was part of a 15th percentile to survive such an injury. yeah, my life definitely changed. My girlfriend, she ended up passing away in the accident on the third day. When I was in the hospital, I was hospitalized for a month. I was seeing spiritual things, things I just couldn't even explain to you guys. Things that, I don't know if they were angels or if they were demons, but they were there. And this is how I know that God is so real, because the person that hit us, of all people in Dallas, Texas, the person that hit us was my girlfriend's uncle. So that is divine intervention, if you ask me. God was calling me, and I chose to ignore it. But it says in the Bible that God disciplines his children for those that he loves, and he disciplined me. And now I live a life for him. I chose to pursue righteousness than to pursue sin. God gave me a new heart. He took out my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. And all that was going through my head during that recovery was Romans 8:18. The pain you are feeling cannot amount to the joy that is coming. And all I was doing was holding on to that. It says in Romans to rejoice in suffering, because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope will not put you to shame, because God has poured his love out through the Holy Spirit. And I submitted my life to him. I hope with all my heart that nobody ever has to go through that. But if anything, I'm very thankful. Very, very thankful. Because God has blessed me with a beautiful wife, a daughter, and I have another baby on the way. Yeah. So he still does miracles, and he's still working a miracle in my life now. Every single day, I feel my life changing, and I'm so thankful. And I praise God every single day for that.
Thank you, Matt. You can give it to Tyler. So I had the privilege, and so Matt's looking for a church. And he gets online, and he sees my name, and he's like, that's JoJo's dad. And Matt used to come to the house with the band members, and I knew him when he was a teenager. And we used to goof around and have fun, and he came to church, and I didn't recognize him. At first, he had the dreads. It's not because of any of the facial stuff, because I want to tell you something, Matt. You're a beautiful person. You look beautiful. And your wife thinks so, too. So I got to do his wedding, did the counseling. Listen, he comes to me. They already had a child, but they weren't married yet. And he's like, I said, well, listen, I'm going to do your counseling. I'll do your wedding. I was like, but you got to stop. You got to stop acting like you're married till you get married. And he's like, oh, we stopped that a long time ago. I'm walking with Jesus now. We are in separate areas. And they got married in the backyard of my last home. And his wife is like an angel, and you'll see her. She'll be in the second service. See, that's what God does. But sometimes we don't want, he's in a place right now where he's experiencing God the way he always was meant to. But sometimes we don't want that. We lay up and we settle for just the salvation. So what I'd like to do this morning is I want to move into Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to go right through it verse by verse, starting in verse 7, and take a look at this call for us to enter a very special and anointed place. Chapter 3, Hebrews 3, verse 1, says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Now, when he speaks of the rebellion, he's talking about what happened when Israel was about to enter the promised land, and they rebelled and said no. Remember, we talked about that last week? There are giants in the land. We're not going in. That was a literal promised land. And now God's talking about something spiritually. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers, he's speaking to the Jews, your forefathers put me, God, to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is making a statement, and I want to present that to you. Today, if you are hearing his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden it. Now, this example of God's people hardening their hearts again. It was when the 10 spies, 10 of the 12 spies came back from spying out the promised land and said, we cannot. They convinced the people. They were afraid to go in. There were giants in the land. It was too scary. This was going to be a journey that was beyond them. They said, we can't do it. And they convinced the people not to enter that land. Now, it resulted, their refusal to go in the land resulted in their not entering that physical place that God planned for them, the promised land, the nation of Israel. And they had to wait 40 years till every single adult who had said no until they died, and 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And when everyone from that generation that refused, that heard God's voice but hardened their hearts, when they were all dead, then God let them into the land. So why? What was the big deal of not doing something God called them to do? Well, let's look at God's response to this hardening of the people's hearts to him. Verse 10, it says, therefore, this is God speaking, I was provoked with that generation. It actually angered God. It provoked him. You know what it means to be provoked? Okay, to be provoked is to be pushed to that point where you want to respond. You're provoked. I was provoked with that generation and said, they, the generation, always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They've not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, literally the promised land, but he's talking about something that is, this is actually many years after the children of Israel had finally entered the land. So he's talking about something different. He's talking about a place of spiritual rest, where we rest in God's provision for us. It's available. So he says, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways, and as a result, they shall not enter my rest. So not knowing God's ways, or probably better, not living according to God's ways, results in us not getting to that spiritual place of intimacy with God. What are God's ways? What are they? You know, you say, well, Joe, we can talk on and on and on. I'm going to make this simple. We got some high school kids here, right? You're in high school, right? Doug's son? High school? Junior. College? Junior. Whoa. Wow. He's got some stuff going on, man. God made you a man. We got a couple of high school. You look like, I said high school. I thought maybe college, okay? But I want to make it so that a junior high person can understand, because that's probably, we need it that way. I do. Listen, you know what God's ways are? The ways of faith. Belief rather than unbelief. God calls us to do something, to step into something, and we say, oh, I could never do it. And we use a false humility as an excuse, but it's not false humility. It's actually a pride that says, I'm not going to do something that I don't think I can do, even if God calls me, because I'll look really bad if it doesn't work. So I want to protect myself and my image and act like I'm all cool. But God says, step out in faith. Okay? Second is obedience. It's very clear in the scriptures. Obedience. Obedience to the clear written word of God and to God's call on your life. And then lastly, a soft heart. See, when you live a life of faith, not perfect faith, let's get off that perfect faith stuff. Remember who's preaching to you? It's Joe, okay? I don't have perfect faith. I'm one of those pastors that admits that we're all the same, okay? But we are the same, but in a sense, we all get to choose what we do in our journey. So it's not that anything's different inside of us. It's that we have a response to choose. How we respond is what makes us different. So we want to walk by faith. We want to live in obedience to God and to the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit says, hey, Joe, now I'm going to date myself. These discos you're going to. This is back in 1980. I just become a Christian. Joe, these discos that you go to where the guys walk in as if it were a butcher shop. That's what it was like. Discotheques were butcher shop. I grew up in the disco years, okay? 1980, okay? I was 3 years into my disco career, and it was like you might as well just wore a butcher's jacket because you went in, and women really looked to us like chops of meat. And you would try and pick out the meat that you wanted. Maybe a little pork, maybe a little chicken, maybe some beef or whatever it is. And the Lord said, Joe, I've saved you. Now it's time, let it go. And by God's grace, but because I believed in him, I never went to another disco again. You say, oh, come on, yeah, but you're a pastor. What pastor? I was 22 years old. I had no friends. I was the only Christian I knew, okay? Not really, but I had no friends that were Christians. God saved me. And when he said, I don't want you to go anymore, I said, yes, sir. Obedience. And then a soft heart. Here's a soft heart. A heart that says, I'm going to keep climbing. I'm going to keep working with you. Lord, I'm going to let you continue to mold me into what you want me to be. So when we have those are the ways of God. It's really simple. So give me your name again, the junior high. Who is it? Dustin. Okay. Your family has a special place in my heart, Dustin. So you and I are going to be buddies. Okay. So Dustin, even as a junior high kid, there are so many things that are out there. But if you live a life of faith, and if you obey the Lord as he speaks to you, and if you let your heart stay soft, he will make your life something unbelievably beautiful. You won't even believe it. You won't believe it. Is it easy? No. Is it scary? Yes. Is it lonely? Yes. Sometimes. But the payoff is beyond what you can even imagine. So let's continue as the writer of Hebrews now speaks to his readers, and let's look at some of the things that keep us from this place of intimacy with God. Because what I'm describing to you, most of you are saying, I don't experience that, Joe. But let's take a look at maybe why. Verse 12. The writer of Hebrews says, take care, brothers, take care, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. So here's one of the things that keeps us from this special place of intimacy with God, an evil, unbelieving heart. A heart that's not sincere or honest with God, that will cause us to fall away from the living God. You might be saved, but you are not going to experience that special place spiritually, that place of intimacy with God. Verse 13, it says, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Second thing that keeps us away is the deceitfulness of sin. Now, just Dustin, I'm sorry, but I usually do this. People come for the first time. I just focus on them. So I hope you don't mind me using you the way I am, but you have no choice at this point unless you can cut my microphone off. But I'm not giving it to him. I actually see something special in you, which is why I'm talking to you. So you have to realize as a junior high kid, sin is deceitful. Deceitful means it looks really good, and then when you bite it, it tastes really bad. Okay, and your mommy and daddy can tell you all about that because they lived a life of putting things in their body that looked good but were really bad. And now I just want to tell you, I don't have time to tell you about this family. This is a miracle. This is a miracle right here. Amen. Right? Right. Okay. I did their wedding a long time ago, but they called me the other day and said, Joe, will you renew our vows? You are a pastor. I was like, I'd like this. Can I see you? And my gosh, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, Dustin and Brittany. I mean, this is amazing. I just called you Dustin. What? Sorry. Yeah. Give me the name again. Doug. Oh, I know him well. I'm focused on your son right now, okay? You see, this evil, unbelieving heart and the deceitfulness of sin, it hardens our hearts, and we use our questions and doubts as an excuse to sin and obey. And you're going to find that there are a lot of things like that that it come before all of us, but especially when we're young. Now, how do we fight the human and normal tendency to go these ways? I want to go back to verse 12. Listen, it says, take care. So how do you avoid an evil and unbelieving heart? You take care. You guard your heart. And you don't allow unbelief to set the course of your life. You recognize the tendency of your heart to do evil. And you take care. You know what it means to take care? Be careful. Be careful. And back to verse 13, he says, but exhort one another every day. So here's another thing that we can do. To exhort is to encourage. So he says, encourage one another every day. Be in relationship with other people who will encourage you to stay clear from sin. That's what he's saying. He's setting a prescription for us to be able to experience this intimacy with God, which once having experienced, I told you I'm in and out of it. When I'm in it, it's the greatest thing in the world. When I'm out of it, all I do is wish I was back in it. And usually I've done something to slip out of it, and then I find my way back in. And I was like, I'm never leaving here again. And then somehow, some way, I slip out, but then I get back in. I'm trying to figure out a way to, no, I do know one thing. When we get to heaven, we stay there forever. Because the deceitful heart, the sin, all those things are gone. But until then, we can experience heaven on earth. And that's what I'm trying to inspire you to do, to pursue. Verse 14, he goes on and says, for we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. See, true faith endures. It endures. It continues on. One of the things I've learned is this. I think what I find is a lot of times I meet up with people who had fallen away from God, but as they get older, they come back to God. Maybe that explains it, because they had a true faith. They just got off track, and they do come back. When the faith is real, they come back to it, or sometimes God takes them. I've seen people, God will take them. End their life. Did they lose their salvation? No. Their lives ending sometimes was the proof that they were saved. But God keeps drawing back. And I notice people that were away from God and they come back and they tell me this story. And I knew God. I knew him when I was young and I was this and I was that. But man, I messed up. And it was this, it was that, the deceitfulness of sin and all the different things. Unbelief came in. I started chasing this, that, and the other thing. But now, and they come back and many of them are scarred up, banged up. They have, you know, multiple children with different people and all the consequences, but they find him again. And because it endures, but it doesn't have to be that way. See, their lives end up less than could, their lives, they get back to being great with Jesus, but it's less than what it could have been if they didn't have those times of disobedience, unbelief, and the hardening of their hearts. Verse 15. It says, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The day to respond to Christ is today. It's today. It's not next week, because probably if you're a little bit off the trail, or if you're a lot off the trail, off the path, and we can't always tell. You show up here on Sunday, you clean up good. But you know where you are on the inside. And the day to respond, the day to say yes to God, to say, God, come in, fill me with your spirit, is today. There isn't a guarantee that you have tomorrow. He says, verse 16, for who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? So here's an example of people hearing the voice of God and saying no. So he's back to what happened in Canaan when they were about to enter the land, Numbers chapter 13. And he says, who were the ones that heard God's voice? Who's an example? And then rebelled. It was the children of Israel being led by Moses out of Egypt in quite miraculous ways. It wasn't that God hadn't showed the children of Egypt his greatness. Remember the 10 plagues, okay? And how none of those plagues affected any of the Jews? They lived through that. Can you imagine if COVID-20, I don't know, if there's another COVID that comes, and COVID-25, can you imagine if COVID-25 comes, and there are prophets in the church across the world that say, this is judgment on God, and no Christian will have COVID-25. And can you imagine if now it wasn't the case with the COVID that we dealt with. But can you imagine if COVID-25, not one single Christian got COVID, and everyone else in the world got it? Can you imagine? Would that not be a miracle? Wouldn't that be wow? And then people were coming to Christ, and the COVID would be gone. Okay. Can you imagine that? Well, that's what the Israelites went through 10 times. They saw 10 curses come to the children, to the Egyptians, and none of it affected the Jews. 10 times. And then, finally, Pharaoh let them go. After the 10th plague was the killing of the firstborn, and the Jews put the blood on the door, and the angel of death passed over the Jewish households, and only the firstborn of Egypt were killed, and that blood represented the blood of Christ, which protects us. And then they went out, and they got to the Red Sea, and they turned around, and there were the Egyptian army coming after them. And they started to freak out. And Moses said, chill out, guys. I've got a staff. And he raised the staff, and the water separated, and the 2 million or so Jews began to walk through the Red Sea like it was dry land. And then the Egyptian army entered behind them, and the water came right down. They were looking like this and saying, what? As they saw God provide and protect them. They saw that, yet soon after, weeks later, they rebelled. And they said no to God. It was them, okay? And verse 17, it says, and with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? 40 years. Every one of the adults that refused to go take the land never made it to the promised land. Verse 19. And to whom did he swear that they would never enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? God swore that sin, disobedience, and unbelief would prevent them. They would not enter into his rest. In this case, it was the promised land, the literal land of Israel. But what the writer of Hebrews is talking to us about is a special place of spiritual rest, of intimacy with God, that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we can live there. And some of you are better than me. And once you find it, you won't be like me, somehow in and out of it, in and out of it. But we actually can stay there. But when we fall out of it and we hear his voice, we can still get back to it. It says in verse 19, see, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. It was that unbelief. Unbelief is not doubting. It's allowing the doubts that you have to stop you from obeying God and living a life of faith. Listen, if you think there's anyone in this room that doesn't experience questions and doubts, then you're not understanding things right. We're all the same, flesh and blood. It's what we do with those doubts. When you decide, regardless of what I feel, I'm going to obey. I'm going to live a life of faith, and we keep walking with Jesus. But when we allow unbelief to control us, when we start living lives of disobedience, when we allow our hearts to get hard, you know what happens a lot of times? We don't understand the ways of God. We struggle, we have challenges in life, and we think we can't trust God because he allows difficult things. Matt, you easily could have said, I don't want anything to do with this God. How could he put me in an accident like this? Well, I don't know. I would phrase it this way, but it's your story. I would say he allowed to bring you back to where he wanted you all the time. But you could have said that and been angry. I meet with people like that all the time. They blame him, and that's a heart of unbelief. It's an evil and unbelieving heart. But when you recognize that God is using things to draw you to what he really wants, he wants you to be saved from your sins, forgiven, and then he wants you to experience heaven on earth in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Last verse of the day, and I'm done. Verse chapter 4, verse 1, we'll just do one verse. Therefore, okay, why is he telling us this? Here's the reason why. While the promise of entering his rest still stands. Now listen, he is not talking about entering the promised land. They already lived in it. They had lived there for, I'm not sure, Gino, tell him, 400 years, something like that. They already lived there. He's talking about a place of spiritual rest. A place of intimacy with God where we rest from our striving and our works and we recognize the love of God given to us and we live within that love. Listen, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. The promise still remains. If you're still hearing his voice, it certainly means there's still time. If you're not hearing his voice, then ask him to speak to you. And when he does, if he's speaking to you now, or if you're asking him to speak to you, when you hear the voice, and the voice may just be this, come to me. Lay that down. Pick this up. Whatever it is that he calls you to bring you closer to him, there's really only one answer. The answer is yes. 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 But Lord, I'm afraid. But yes, I'll do it. But Lord, I don't know. I'm not sure it's really you. Yes, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk this life of faith. In the meanwhile, of waiting to experience it. You live the life of faith, obedience, and you keep your heart soft to God. Let's close out this morning. Today, if you are hearing his voice, don't harden your heart. Just soften it. Put yourself, here's what I mean by soften your heart. Put yourself in a place that you're walking by faith. You're obeying the written word of God. You're turning away from sin in your life, and you're listening for the voice of God to speak to you, his child, and that you're always ready to answer by saying yes. Next week, we'll wrap up, we'll go through chapter 4, and I'm going to talk to you about how to find, how to create a place or even places where you can hear God's voice and find that special spiritual place of intimacy and rest. Now listen, it's a spiritual place I'm talking about, but when you want to find a place where you can hear that voice, it will often involve a physical place or two or even three where you go and prepare yourself to hear from God. Let's close in prayer. And by the way, before I pray, there is a study guide that can help you go deeper in this study in these scriptures. By the way, what I'm teaching you, there's nothing shallow about what I'm teaching you. This is, but it's available to all of us if we want it. Let's pray. Lord, I know I'm in and out of that place, but boy, being in it just for a moment is the greatest thing that I know. And I want to learn how to keep getting there. So even when I fall out of it, I'm going to I'm going to keep believing and trusting you. I'm going to obey you. And I'm going to have a soft heart that continues to be willing to listen. Because, Lord, I know that when I'm in that place with you, everything else is just secondary. Everything else is better, sweeter, brighter, more wonderful. And that's what we all want in our lives. It's available. Lord, would you help each of us to begin taking the steps so that we can experience heaven while we're on earth? In Jesus' name, amen.